It's an ancient maxim. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. St. James said it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When have you needed this lately? When have you needed this lately? Monday morning, flying to Denver to help with a coaching cohort for church leaders, this cohort of leaders that I've been helping coach, I had one try my patience, test me situation after another. Right away, early morning, it was going to be an early morning flight. Right away, wake up at 3:45 to go. And first thing when I come downstairs and look at my phone, United tells me that my flight is delayed an hour. Would have been nice to know that last night. But I'm up, and so by then the coffee's brewing, and I'm like, all right, just get going, Plutz, let's go. And I'm trying to not wake the rest of the house as I'm getting ready, but the dog decides everyone should be up. So old dogger starts barking, and I'm like, shh, come on, it's quiet. And getting ready, everything just feels off. Did you ever have that kind of experience in the morning, ever? When it's just, and some of you are like, that's every morning for me. Everything just kind of felt off. And I was so tempted as I'm getting ready to go out the door to let frustrations and grumble get the best of me. Made a smooth drive to BWI, praise God, really grateful for that. But then security was a nightmare. I mean, it was one of those, you know, the lines were slow, and then the conveyor belt went down, and my stuff was already on that very conveyor belt, and so they had to transfer all of our stuff from that belt over to the other belt and told all of us to move over there, and then several people who had on-time flights, you know, I'm feeling good because I got time, that's no big deal, but then there were people who had on-time flights who decided to get testy with TSA. Not a good idea to get testy with TSA, right? And so there's all of this like tension that's running high. And I look up and realize that just the other side of security is Starbucks. And I'm like, oh, there's hope. There's hope right there. But all these people, they're like getting testy with TSA and talking back to them and all this stuff. And I see Starbucks over there, and I'm feeling so tempted. I'm not kidding you. I'm so tempted to exclaim, people, stop being jerks. All will roll smoother and we can go get coffee. Just get back in the line and stop talking back to TSA. But I did not say that. Very tempted. Do you ever experience stuff like this? Do you? Where it's just like every annoyance imaginable is stirring, getting at you, annoying you. That was my Monday morning right there, trying to just get on an airplane. I was battling inside, like all the impatience. I'm battling with an angry spirit inside me, honestly. And finally, I got boarded. And I'm thinking, okay, now all will be good. And I suddenly realized that I had all the annoying people from that place right around me. I'm not kidding you. There was this woman right next to me, lady, her husband was near the window. She's right next to me, and she's whining that she forgot to download her book. And she wouldn't give it up about, I forgot to download my book. And then she's like punching quickly on her tablet, trying to download the book. And I'm like, lady, you'll live for 3 hours without your book. It'll be okay. And her husband's trying to tell her the same thing. She's not listening. And she's just more and more frazzled. And then finally they calm down. And then I realize there is a baby right behind me. And the baby starts crying, of course. Then, suddenly, the baby starts tapping the top of my bald head. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, really? Jesus, really? This kind of testing this morning on this flight? You got to be kidding me, Lord. Please, please, oh, please. And I'm thinking, can anything else, can there be any more annoying people in my path? And then I see this guy, like the final people are getting on the plane, and I see this guy coming down the walkway, and I'm like, no, no, Lord. He's really big, really tall, very large. The seat in front of me is empty. And of course, he plunks down in the seat, and he can't sit still. And he's constantly doing this. Now remember, his seat is integral to my peace and tranquility on the plane because my flip down thing is right there, right? So the whole plane ride, my tray is like jiggling because he can't sit still. Have I mentioned that I was feeling annoyed? Anger boiling, frustration is then starting to blend with judginess. Yes, I'm feeling all the judgies. How can it be that I got all the idiots around me, Lord? I didn't say that out loud, but I'm thinking it. I was trying, honestly, gang. I was trying to live out this maxim. Truly was, deep in my heart. And I wish I could say that I succeeded, but I'll confess, and I better because I'm in church, that it was a real mix inside of me. Some success at staying patient, but then not so much. What do you do? What do you do? Perhaps you're saying right now, hey, Pletch, I've been there. Your travel experience is a tiny test in the grand scheme. And you're right. Our human journey is littered with devilish, tempting times and testing seasons. Jesus knew all about it. Opening verses in Luke 4, it starts like this. Luke chapter 4. I invite you there. If you want to open your own Bible today, I encourage you to do that so you can see it for yourself. At times, there'll be words on the screen, but you're going to want to see the story deeper there. So please open to Luke 4. It says, "In Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit," note that, "in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil." A special note, the old Greek word Luke uses for tempted can also mean tested, tried, pushed and pulled to see who you really are, what you're made of, whose you really are. Tested, tried, pushed and pulled to see who you really are, who you're becoming, whose you really are. And we face such testing all the time, right? A grim medical diagnosis can readily make you feel angry and fearful, testing your trust in God. Old addictions or surprising new ones suddenly haunt us. People supposedly near and dear suddenly disappoint or disappear. Ends up making us bitter. Success can seem so sweet, but it delivers a host of potential pitfalls like power trips and pride and possession obsession. Or perhaps you've been hit with an overwhelming season of uncontrollable despair, despondency, and hopelessness. If that's you, you know all about testing and temptation. C.S. Lewis wisely observed, Lewis said, "Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is." So how do we deal? How do we deal? How do we resist well when facing the devil and his schemes? Let's gain this empowering perspective today. Here it is. Belonging brings testing. Jesus stood strong, so we can too. Will you say it with me? Let's say it aloud together. Belonging brings testing. Jesus stood strong, so we can too. One more time. Let's say it. Belonging brings testing. Jesus stood strong, so we can too. In Luke 3, we saw Jesus' baptism. We saw it last time together. His baptism, his belonging as Son of God, fully identifying with us. The Holy Spirit descended. We saw it last time. The Father spoke loving affirmation and delight. We even saw Christ's genealogy, family tree, that was very intentionally tracing all the way back to Adam, Son of God. That cap-off declaration at the end of the genealogy. Luke helps us see that Christ came for all humanity. He was doing that through this family tree and Adam, Son of God. And he actually is doing this all across his gospel, showing us that Jesus has come so that all humanity can belong in the family. Now, as we move into chapter 4, How do we stand strong in testing? It's one thing to wondrously know we can belong by simply believing, repenting, receiving this good news, and that's true. But then as we belong, what happens? It brings testing. How do we, like Jesus, stand strong? Hey, it's one thing to know that you're welcomed, that you belong, that you're included, that you're accepted into the family. You believe, you trust, you repent. We trust and so we're welcomed. But how do we actually resist well? Stand strong. Proving who we are in the family of God. How do we stand strong in testing? How can we successfully resist amidst the devil's ploys? Jesus confronts the devil. Here it is again, Luke 4. He confronts him, and it's important to note it's the Holy Spirit who sends Jesus into the wilderness. He doesn't just kind of stumble out there and somehow like happens to land in the wilderness. It's actually orchestrated that he'll go there. In fact, Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 of Mark's gospel, Mark says the Spirit drove Jesus out there. It's very deliberate. It's very intentional. The lingo is colorful, like a very deliberate throw of a ball to a teammate. Football season's coming, gang. Are you excited? Oh, yeah. College football, Eagles football, Steelers football. It's coming. And what happens when it comes to football, everything is intentionality with the ball, right? Where's the ball being sent? Where's it being thrown? Who's going to receive it? How's it being thrown that way? And the Holy Spirit right here throws Jesus the Son with intentional purpose. Mark's version also, by the way, tells us Jesus was out there with the wild animals. I find that interesting. He's out there with the wild animals. I get curious when I read God's word. It doesn't go on to elaborate much about like what was happening with these animals. Like, was Jesus talking to the animals? Was he trying to steer clear of the animals? Some of you are like, John, you have a really big imagination. Yeah, it's just the things that I wonder about when I read the Bible. He's out there with the wild animals. Luke 3 shows us wilderness was the place Christ's cousin John, we saw it a couple weeks ago, very place, this very terrain was the place Christ's cousin John heard God's word, the good news, and received unction to proclaim it. God's people have heard God in special ways before, back in history, had significant encounters out here in wild places. And the wilderness can be renewal, revival, replenishment. It can also mean a place of trials, temptations, and testing. Testing. As was true for the collective people of God, the ancient Israelites. Across 40 years, they experienced a full blend of testing. Sadly, their collective scorecard at the end read failure. Even their great leader Moses lost his cool and failed. We might shrug and say, well, if they failed, and if Moses failed, no doubt we will too. We're doomed. Why even try? I guess it's just how it goes. You go out in the wilderness and you fail, and yet something altogether different and beautiful happens with Jesus. The Holy Spirit sends Jesus out there. What if? What if St. James' old maxim actually deals us brighter hope? What if Jesus' own situation provides us with better ways to stand strong? What if? What happens with Jesus right here is remarkable and hope-filled and actually presents for us a pattern, a beautiful pattern of how to resist well. Let's read the rest of the story. Go ahead, look there. See how Jesus resisted and take hold of some surefire ways to stand strong like Jesus. Let's read it. Here we go. Oh, and as we're reading it, just keep this in mind, remember? Belonging brings testing. Jesus stood strong, so we can too. Listen here. Full story now in verses 1 through 13, Luke 4. God's word says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Verse 3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Verse 5, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Verse 8, and Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Verse 9, and the devil took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Verse 13, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Let's consider several next look insights. First, testing serves divine purposes. It's vital that we avoid the knee-jerk assumption it's always only horrific, thoroughly corrupted, and producing nothing good. Nothing good. In God's sovereign, all-purposeful ways. In his sovereign, all-purposeful ways, the Lord uses all circumstances, even those of the enemy. Now, it's important to note, he does not instigate evil temptations and trials against us, no. But he can allow them and make good come of them. It's vital we realize testing can and will serve divine purposes in our lives. Testing can and will serve divine purposes in your life and mine. So instead of shrugging, sulking, see the opportunity for strengthening who you are, who you're becoming, and whose you are. You belong in God's family, this loving circle of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So live like it. I wish I had remembered that more in the airport and on the plane on Monday morning. I wish I had remembered that faster. I wish I had. Testing serves divine purposes. Second, Jesus recalls truth. Jesus recalls truth. When faced with the devil's trickery, watch what he does. He's out there in the wilderness and he faces this trickery and he remembers Israel's story of failure. But he also remembers the sacred truths right along with it. What he's quoting, what Jesus is quoting in the devil's face when he's facing him, when he's firing back at the devil, is from Deuteronomy 6 or 8. Now, I want to urge you in the coming week or coming couple weeks, at some point, put a tab there and go there and read Deuteronomy 6 or 8, because Jesus' heart, mind, soul, as he's facing the devil, is immersed in the old story of Deuteronomy 6 or 8 and the incredible truths that jump out right there. He recalls the truth. And it's so crucial for us to recall truth in the face of testing and temptations and speak truth against the deceptive devilry. It makes all the difference. Testing serves divine purposes. Jesus recalls truth. And third, Jesus chose trust. Jesus chose trust. Major issue at the core of temptation and testing is always trust. Jesus chose to trust his Father's provision. He chose to trust the Father's way is truly blessed and best, truly. Trust he alone is worthy of our worship and adoration and all-out devotion. So instead of caving in and crumbling and bowing low before the temptation and the trials and the testing of the evil one, instead you can stand strong in trust, remembering the truth. Be strengthened. Trials, testing, temptations serve to actually strengthen our perseverance. We learn more and more a persevering trust so tenacious faith can grow. Ralph Waldo Emerson quipped, "We gain the strength of the temptation we resist. We gain the strength of the temptation we resist." Emerson, in some really, really winsome way, recognized that there is a strength we gain when we actually stand in the face of temptation. We gain this different level of strength. James, yes, the St. James we heard from at the very beginning, St. James who said, "Resist the devil, he will flee," says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." That's James 1, 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4. What happens in the face of testing? We grow mature, more like Jesus. We grow mature, more like Jesus, which over and over and over again is the goal, the divine goal for your life and for mine, is that we grow to be more like Jesus in our attitudes, in our actions, in how we serve up the gospel and bless other people around us every day. More like Jesus. Elizabeth Elliot said, "A temptation is an opportunity to choose God over self." When's the last time you actually framed up those spots in life where you're being pushed or being pulled, being tried, tested, tempted? When's the last time you actually called a timeout in your heart and mind and said, "Oh, this is actually an opportunity to choose God over myself"? A young family already struggling with life's demands, finances, heartaches, is suddenly sacked with tragedy. Husband and daddy experiences a horrific work accident and dies. And certainly the family is devastated with grief. The mom and wife are overwhelmed emotionally. And she is faced with a wild wilderness of testing. She has a choice. And she realizes it. Will she bow low and give up and give in? And amidst all of it, she chooses. She beautifully chooses to see again God's love and faithfulness, and she digs more into God's words of promise, and she pulls closer to friends who are also in the circle of belonging. And as a result, she actually grows to trust even more. And her kids, well, her kids grieve deeply, absolutely, but they also grow to know the love of others in that circle of belonging, and God's love expands exponentially in their lives, and they never forget it. And through that treacherous wilderness, instead of bending and bowing low, though there are plenty of moments when they stumble and they fumble and they struggle, they never completely bow to all that trial and temptation, or buckle under oppressive anxiety, or give in to substance abuse or other self-consumed choices. That family stands strong and grows in faith-filled perseverance. And it's a beautiful thing because of Jesus. Because Jesus, God's Son, does not fail the test, and he stands strong, and we can too. Belonging brings testing. Jesus stood strong, so we can too. So what will you do? What can we do when we're pushed and pulled and tempted to sink low and to bow to the devil's schemes? What will you do? What can you do? Like Jesus, go out each day full of the Spirit. Go out each day full of the Spirit. I urge you, here's another one to put a tab on, Ephesians chapter 5. Explore Ephesians 5 and what that looks like. Intentionally let the Spirit fill you each day. Say no to the things that would fill your heart, soul, mind, and strength in rotten, ridiculous ways, and say yes, and let the Spirit fill you. Ask him to do that each day. Greet each day by saying, yes, Holy Spirit, fill me, lead me, guide me, and then follow his lead. Even his shoves and tugs and strong directives, would you dare to say, Holy Spirit, throw me some places? Have you ever prayed that way? Holy Spirit, throw me where I need to go today. Toss me there. Use me there. Work in my life right there. Like Jesus, go out each day full of the Spirit. Like Jesus, be aware of those extra tough, trip you up places. Like Jesus, be aware of those extra tough, trip you up places. We all have them. Luke highlights Jesus out there hungry. Anybody know about hangry? Be aware. Mark adds those colorful textures to the scene. Mark 1:13, he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. I love that sweet inclusion there. Also, my quirky imagination regarding Scripture. I wonder what the angels said to him. I wonder how they acted toward him. I can't help but wonder. The angels attended him, and in some incredible way, they strengthened him, they encouraged him. Like Jesus, go out each day full of the Spirit. Like Jesus, be aware of those extra tough, trip you up places. It's good, we learn to recognize there are times that you're extra vulnerable. There are times I'm extra vulnerable. Be wise, be aware. When you are, you're less likely to cave and to bow down to the devil. Shakespeare said, 'tis one thing to be tempted, another thing to fall. It's easy for us to think, oh boy, I'm in a season of testing. Oh, it seems like every Monday morning I'm pushed and pulled and tested, and oh. 'Tis one thing to be tempted, another thing to fall. Like Jesus, recall truth. Recall truth that helps you stand tall. Recall truth, know truth that helps you stand tall. Here's a starter pack for further meditation, memorization, and real-time application so you're ready to stand. And I want to urge you, grab these because you might need them over lunch today with your family. You might need them later this afternoon or all throughout this week. Here's a starter pack. 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us God provides a way to escape temptation. So be watching for that and rejoice in the assurance. God provides a way. He truly will. Are you watching for it? Matthew 26:41 calls followers to watch and pray to not succumb to temptation. Jesus says this to his disciples who were caving in, and he says, whoa, watch and pray. Psalm 119:11 emphasizes hiding God's word in our hearts to prevent sin. You need a good dose of scripture every day in your life. Don't try to live Sunday to Sunday. We have sweet times together like this right here, but you need scripture in your life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Good doses. Why? It helps. It helps you take it in. It helps you remember. It helps you prevent sin. Galatians 5:16, Paul speaks in the same spirit we've been learning together. 5:16 urges walking by the Spirit to overcome fleshly desires. This is where you daily and hour by hour of the day say, Holy Spirit, lead me. I want to walk your way. 2 Timothy 2:22 encourages fleeing temptation and pursuing righteous living. Sometimes the most righteous thing you can do is run. Run away. Hebrews 4:15-16 highlights Christ's own empathy and grace available in times of need, and actually harkens back to the fact that he was tested like this, but without sin. And so when we call out and say, Jesus, I need help, he brings his grace right there in our times of need. In Ephesians 6:10-11, Paul directs us to put on God's full armor so we can stand firm. And again, one of those spots I encourage you, put a tab there, visit it this week. Place to put on the full armor of God. And like Jesus, beware the devil's schemes, those comfy and crafty ways, even his capability to twist scripture. Did you catch that? Jesus is quoting him scripture, and he decides to pull out Psalm 91. The angels will come and care for you. Sounds all beautiful. Even the devil knows his Bible. Crafty, crafty, crafty. Jesus sees through it. Matthew 4:10, we gain another angle. This is so vital. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. More often, you and I just need to tell the enemy, get lost. When's the last time you actually just had that kind of conversation? Something's in your face, tempting you, testing you, and you just look at you, get out of here. It works. He took off. It's important. So important. We are way too good. The more I walk in my own testings and temptations, the more I realize that we are too good at just letting the devil hang around in our lives. We live too much of life acting like there's not even an enemy. We must take the devil seriously. Keeps watching for an opportune time. Did you catch the end of the story for today? He did that with Jesus. He took off, but then he was watching for another opportune time. Take the devil seriously. But take Jesus even more seriously, his powerful way of standing strong, of resisting well, can become yours, can become mine. See, that old, old history of God's people out in the wilderness, they failed. Moses, the great leader, failed. The story continues of so many others failing, yet Jesus never fails. He stands strong. So can we. Let's start to leverage testing and temptations as opportunities for better belonging with Jesus and all his family. This fall, we'll start several new Sunday and midweek belong groups. Now stay tuned. We'll share more coming up about that. Some new Sunday and midweek belong groups, places where we can get real and be open and share and trust Jesus and one another so we can stand strong and belong amidst all of life's testing and battling. So be watching. More details are coming. Even those times we stumble and we sink low, we can remember Jesus stood strong. He lived amazing, went to the cross, triumphed over the grave for our forgiveness and for our strengthening, our growth in his likeness. He declares us righteous and beloved and belonging in the family. So trust him to strengthen you, to form you more into his likeness. Belonging brings testing. Jesus stood strong. You can too. We can too. A guy I knew years back and far away from here struggled with a devilish addiction. Almost cost him his marriage and his kids. Now, this guy was indeed a child of God. He belonged, but he seemed to forget all about it, at least on many days, because he constantly buckled and fell low, stooped low, instead of standing strong. And with such failure over and over and over again, he only felt worse, overwhelmed. Finally, one day, he realized anew the truth that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit still loved him and were including him. And so he chose to open up with his family and friends who willingly expressed grace and support, to faithfully listen and to pray for him and help him recall truth again and again, and to help him start standing stronger like Jesus. And even in those days and seasons that seemed so full of continued testing and so hard, his circle of belonging was there for him. Jesus was there for him. Belonging brings testing. Jesus stood strong. So we can too. Watch this.